Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ho, ho, ho! And welcome to Toon Jam. I'm Matt.
And I'm J-Man.
And we are back in festive spirits. It's that time of year again. It's festive season.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays to all.
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy holidays.
Merry Kwanzaa.
Merry Kwanzaa. Merry Kwanzaa to you.
Merry whatever you're celebrating, whether it be your birthday, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, you've finally broken that pull-up record.
That you've
been trying to beat. Who cares, man? As long as you're celebrating something.
Yeah. Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, yeah. Merry Tuesday. Yes, it's festive. And what a way to start a festive season. I'm guessing by the title of the episode you already know. But we are covering G.I. Joe, Real American Heroes.
Yes.
Of course, I don't really need to explain why it's so festive. But I will. We're actually doing an episode that is a Christmas episode. Titled Cobra Claws Are Coming to Town.
Oh.
Or Cobra Claws Is Coming to Town, something like that.
Yeah.
One of the above. So, I mean, I imagine you've probably heard of G.I. Joe. Maybe you haven't, though.
Oh.
Let me tell you a little bit about it. G.I. Joe, a real American hero, retitled, this is interesting, in the UK as Action Force.
Oh.
Because obviously, we did not want to know
about American
hero. Get off it!
Action Force. That's so painfully generic.
Action Force, yes, please. Bring them on.
Oh man!
So there you go. So Action Force in the UK. It's a half-hour American animated television series created by Ron Friedman. You may know Ron Friedman from his work on Transformers and the Marvel Action Hour. Things like Iron Man and Fantastic Four. Et al.
Hulk,
yeah. Hulk. I don't think the X-Men was part of that, was it?
No, I don't think so.
It's all the ones that weren't that good.
Yeah.
But reasonable. You know the ones. But, I mean, Transformers is massive. G.I. Joe is massive.
Yeah.
So, who cares?
Yeah.
It's based on the toy line from Hasbro. Mm. And the cartoon ran in syndication from 1983 to 1986. With 95 episodes, hoo doggy, but not all by one company. It's got a very, very intense history of companies.
Oh.
When Hasbro launched G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero toy line in 1982. Alongside the Marvel Comics series, it commissioned Marvel Productions to produce a series of fully animated 30-second television commercials, which were broadcast in order to promote the comic book publication, since advertising regulations for a literary work were more lax than for a direct toy commercial. The commercial for the first issue began airing throughout the spring of 1982. The popularity of these commercials led to the production of a five-part G.I. Joe miniseries, which aired in 1983, later known as The Mass Device, when it re-aired during the series' syndication. So that was the pilot episode, essentially. It got promoted to a full series in 1985 with an initial order for a first season of 55 more episodes. And this was in order to make up the required 65 episodes for syndication. So that pilot was a sort of a 10-part thing, I think. The season began with a third Friedman-penned five-part adventure, The Pyramid of Darkness, and the story sees most of the existing cast from the two previous miniseries held captive by Cobra, while a new assortment of characters, that is the new 1985 range of toys, thwart Cobra's attempts to surround the Earth with electricity-negating Pyramid of Darkness. Essentially... it kind of got to a point where they were trying to keep up with the toy line. So characters would come in and out nonstop. and there would be no explanation. And because it was sort of a shared universe with the comic books, it would also, there would be deaths and things in the books that would then be referenced on screen. Yeah, which is interesting.
Quite cool crossover stuff.
A fun fact, when in 1986, the miniseries, I mean, they keep calling them miniseries, I think it's like a series of miniseries is the series, it introduced a new 1986 range of toys into the story, which were at the centre of most stories across the rest of the season. In particular... this is pretty interesting. The miniseries debuted former WWF and then current AWA professional wrestler Sergeant Slaughter as a member of G.I. Joe, played by himself for this season. Yeah. And then, so he was actually a wrestler that was also a main character.
Amazing.
There was a follow-up movie that took place after season two, which was intended to lead into season three. And though Marvel Productions continued to produce animated commercials for the toy line and comic book, which featured a new theme song with the lyrics, "Nobody Beats G.I. Joe." Fun detail there for you. After the broadcast of the movie, it then never got around to producing a third season. and ended up losing the license to a competing animation company, Deke, who then made the third series. Deke then themselves passed on the baton, and it was then given to Sunbow. That's not true. Sunbow is a character. Sorry, I'm getting very mixed. So there's a lot of information. There's so much information on G.I. Joe. I never realised what a treasure trove of stuff that goes on. Sunbow is a production company. I thought so. I'm so sorry. This is the most... Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Christmas surprises everywhere.
Everywhere. G.I. Joe, it was a co-production between Marvel Productions and Sunbow Productions. So Sunbow's staff would write the scripts based on the characters and vehicle designs provided by Hasbro, while the artists at Marvel Productions would draw storyboards based on the scripts and record voiceovers. The animation was outsourced to Toei in Japan, who worked on all 95 episodes as well as the movie. So there you go, pretty interesting stuff, really.
Quite a storied past.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so much. It's still going now, I believe, in a sense. G.I. Joe comics,
yeah,
no longer made by Marvel. There's newer movies. Didn't The Rock feature in one of the movies?
He was, yeah.
More than one, maybe.
Channing Tatum as well, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, it's no stranger to having wrestlers in the series.
But yeah, there you go.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know how many do. But yeah, I mean, so much out there. So you've had my my classic filtered nonsense from it there. I hope that's brought some new new facts for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's obviously a massive property, especially for the 80s that we've never done before. So what better time than Christmas? Does it hold the values that we need? We shall see. Have you watched it before?
I don't know if I actually have, you know, like I know of it and like I know that it was cartoon and stuff, but I don't know if I ever actually sat down and watched the cartoon.
You may have watched Action Force.
Yeah, if I did, it was Action Force. Yeah. But no, like I don't really have a memory of watching like, you know,
no.
this in whatever.
No, I don't remember it airing when we were younger.
Mm. Yeah.
But I do remember a friend of mine having loads of G.I. Joe toys.
Mm. Right.
Which was, it was always weird because it was like, oh, who are these guys? Like, yeah. why have you got these toys? He had so many.
I actually had a couple of G.I. Joe toys, but they weren't, like I had, there were like some monsters or something that I thought looked cool and just had those. They were like two monsters that just didn't even look like anything related to G.I. Joe. I guess the toy line was pretty extensive. There was one that you like would look like a big yellow and black bear that you put like clay inside its stomach for some reason. And then there was another one that was like a big swamp creature that had these weird tendrils and they had like wires in. So you pressed something on its back and it'd like grip.
And these were G.I. Joe toys.
Yeah, they it was part of a G.I. Joe line, so I don't even know what that was from. But yeah, they were some of my favourite toys because the monsters were really weird.
I guess they had to stretch out to other areas.
Yeah, very strange.
Than just army. So. Well, fun fact about my friend that had, you know, it was like literally like a bin full of just so many of them. That he wasn't really allowed to play with if his mates were around. So I think they were his dad's. But they can't be that old. You know, his dad wasn't a kid when they came out. So it was always confusing. But he ended up joining the army. So
there you go.
There you go. Maybe a
big influence.
Want to remember if you're getting your kids to watch G.I. Joe. I mean,
heads up.
For whatever your thoughts are on it, you know, it could end up being that.
Mm. I did end up becoming a monster as a result as well.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
Hey, it really works, the formula.
Yeah. And I ended up becoming a wrestler.
Yeah, so, that's what we all know.
Yeah. My wrestling moves are second to none. But yes, there you go. So a bit of information there. So... But I never watched it at all. I've not even watched the new films.
No, neither have I.
No, they looked a bit garbage, to be honest. So, my thoughts. But there you go. So, we've not got a Rotten Tomatoes, so 100% on there. IMDb rating, 5,200 votes.
Ooh.
So, plenty there. What's your guess for the score?
I'm going to go 6.8 on this. I feel like it's not really based on anything. That was just a real stab in the dark. And that
6.8. Okay, you are wrong. Mm. If you'd have gone up and down by one, and then what you'll see, 7.7.
Oh. Yeah, see, I was going to go 7 something, but I was like, I don't know, it could have evened out with all those That's just more reviews than we usually have for stuff.
Yeah, but yeah.
I suppose it's quite old, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. 7.7. I think that's quite high.
That's very high. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not what I was expecting for an 80s.
Yeah.
You know,
toy line show.
Cartoon. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. So, almost 8, which is a very high score for IMDb.
That's it.
Okay. Well. There you go. But what is Twitter saying about it? Yeah. I imagine it's not easy to find stuff about a specific G.I. Joe item.
No. We have some general G.I. Joe stuff as well. There's a few folks who, you know, note the Christmas episode. We've got X Wilk Man X, who says, found out there was a G.I. Joe Christmas episode. Watched it. It was weird. That's the tweet.
Yeah. I mean, it's what you'd expect, really.
Yeah.
Not necessarily from the tweet, but from anyone watching. Like, or just you'd expect it from G.I. Joe, a Christmas episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, going in, you're like, how is it going to be that Christmassy?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how much Christmas can they put in this?
Yeah.
Like, we've seen stuff where it's like they just jam Santa in for no particular reason.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing this hasn't got, really, is Santa. But it is Christmassy and it is weird.
It is weird. Fair point. Yeah, it is weird. Jason1749 says, FYI, 2B, I guess somebody who they have a familial relationship with, has the 80s G.I. Joe cartoon. I am watching the Christmas episode whilst drinking a beer, living the best life 12-year-old me could imagine.
I mean, I guess for the future, I wouldn't recommend any 12-year-olds be drinking beer whilst watching anything.
Yeah. I think it's just the 12-year-old game. Like, that was the best thing they could possibly come and play. With
do you know, like, what?
Oh, if I had a beer as well,
yeah, I would be a man.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
That is funny because, like, in a way, you're half really right because as a kid, you know, you do have to be older to drink beer.
Yeah.
Whereas to watch G.I. Joe, you can do that then.
Yeah.
But for some reason, as a kid, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, yeah. Like, or it just needs to be augmented by an adult drink, and then that's all I could ever wish for. Like,
you can't see you can't see your interest changing whatsoever, other than you get blood alcohol.
And I mean, they were right. They were just, you know, so here they are in the future, living it out. Amazing. We have Dan Hopp, who says, had a dream about an old G.I. Joe episode where Cobra Commander had a robot dog and it got wounded and he had to tearfully put it down. Spent so much of my life on the stupid internet, my brain's just making up heartbreaking moments from childhood cartoons. That's the tweet. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, so
had
not
a weird
really
G.I. Joe related dream.
Not really anything to do with G.I. Joe, to be honest.
I
feel for you. That's
a
sadness you never had to experience.
No. But, I mean, just shows you how much G.I. Joe is part of the the cultural subconscious, that people just dream of it every now and then with added story elements that probably didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, someone noted in the replies to the tweet that they could imagine just how painful it would be to witness that, because the voice of the Cobra Commander as well, trying to be mournful, would be in itself something.
It's that classic 80s villain, cartoon villain voice.
Where did that come from? It's so strange.
I don't know, like, who experienced that one villain in real life? I have got you now. And that's like a terrorist.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, someone's been kidnapped and that's the kidnapper.
That's how they spoke. What is strange. Yeah. But apparently everyone in the 80s, that was.
Yeah, that's how, you know, how villains spoke. That was the epitome of what you should fear in a man.
Yes. Yeah. If you heard that voice, it was like, oh no. Like, they are.
True they are evil has approached.
We have Media Warrior who says, crypto and NFTs sound like a scheme Cobra Commander would do in the G.I. Joe cartoon.
Yes! Finally! Pay for my monkey!
It's, yeah, that's painfully accurate.
Yeah, yeah, very true, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good note.
Yeah.
And then finally we have Timmer Joe who says, here's a picture of a sailor dry humping a slab of meat. This is from a G.I. Joe's Christmas episode. If this doesn't make the world better, I don't know what does.
At first I was like, what are you getting at? But yeah, is that is a moment. Yeah. A
story element from, this, from the episode.
Yeah.
Very strange.
That is a moment, yeah. I mean, I guess, is that the last tweet?
That's the last tweet, yeah.
And it's a good way to just dive straight in. It is an insane moment. But this episode is so bizarre.
Yeah.
What an episode to watch. Half of it, like the first half, I feel like they were like, oh, yeah, it's a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
And they kept, but it wasn't like, it was really crowbarred in.
Mm.
To the whole, I mean, laughably as well, the real heart of the Christmas story. I can't remember the guy's name, but the one with the dog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The dog's called, like,
the dog's called Junkyard.
Junkyard, yeah.
Yeah.
Is he called Hound?
Yeah, or something like that. He's like...
Yeah, it's like so.
Well, it's just hilarious that, I mean, they're all sitting down. I think having Christmas dinner or something, or...
Yeah, yeah.
It's not Christmas Day, is it?
No, but they're having that Christmas dinner.
I mean, the more you think about it, it starts off, they're transporting presents.
Yeah.
And then someone sneaks in a rocking horse into their presents. Then they take those presents back to the base. I don't really know why or where, what they're doing with these presents.
No.
I think
they were going to distribute them to like a children's home or something.
Yeah. I really had issues engaging with this episode.
Yeah.
I kept realizing I was just zoning out for minutes on end. but they had these presents and then they'd snuck in some, you know, it was essentially a Trojan horse.
Yeah, a Trojan hobby horse.
It was really like going to lengths to, try, I don't know, create a story. But then he's having his dinner, just to go back to his story, and he just leaves. And then he has a real sob story, doesn't he?
Mm.
About how his parents were too involved in Christmas and wouldn't.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Include him.
Yeah.
Which is so, you know, you watch it like, is this a real problem anyone's had?
Yeah, I've never heard of this before.
Of all the things you could do, like, why he doesn't like parents? Maybe he lost his parents at Christmas. Or
yeah, I know. That's where I thought he was going. Like, where else could it be? You know,
you're like, just expecting something like that. But no, his parents just liked Christmas and didn't let him get involved.
So he always felt left out.
It was such a weird. It was too weird to be not a real thing.
Yeah.
But then you're like, how is this a real thing?
Yeah.
It was very bizarre.
Yeah. And then even stranger that he'd like left the gathering where he was included.
Because he just never felt included no matter what.
Yeah, it was really like, what? What was going on?
And then, I mean, the Cobra soldiers get regrown, take the stuff, and that's
when... They're secretly tiny inside of all the toys that they've put.
I mean, it's just hilarious. It's worth a watch. It is hilarious nonsense. Yeah. But then the second half was just basically a full-on just battle.
Yeah.
You know, with it's what you'd expect, really, wasn't it, from a G.I. Joe episode?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just wartime.
The thing that made it interesting was that they were using each other's equipment. So, like, the Cobra, like, stole all the G.I. Joe stuff because they were pretending to be G.I. Joes to try and bring down their name. And then the Joes got in all the Cobra equipment, but everybody was, like, upset of, like, shooting their own stuff. Everyone was so mournful, like, oh, I can't believe I had to shoot that down.
I think... The weirdest thing, I guess, it's like this is a real example of like having to fit your story around toys.
Yeah.
And some of the characters in G.I. Joe are just amazing.
Yeah.
Like there's way more pirates than I thought there would be in G.I. Joe. there's like one that's like a sailor.
Yeah.
But he's got a parrot. And then there's a villain that's just a pirate.
Yeah.
I just wasn't expecting that. There's more. No. There's cowboys.
Yeah.
There's wrestlers.
Mm. There's like, I don't know. Like, is she like a model? She's called like Cover Girl. It's so weird. It's like, is that her expertise?
Oh man. I mean, it's you know, you do watch some things from the '80s, and you're like, oh, it's actually surprising that this is progressive.
Yeah,
And it shows like this that the reason that those other ones are surprising.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, one black man that... Did he talk in rhyme?
Almost. He was very rhythmic. Like, almost too offensively rhythmic.
I just thought that was dead, like, oh my days. And then everyone else is like a white man, 50% of them have mustaches.
Yeah.
And then there's like Cover Girl.
Yeah. And like the main guy is like blonde Aryan male.
Yeah. It's just everything. Yeah. It's everything you'd expect from the time, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
I did enjoy as well, like how at the start of the episode, as well, everyone refers to everyone by their name as well, just so you can know which character's which, and they've all got the stupidest names as well.
Yeah, I mean, you forget them all, don't you? But they are like,
as if they called the dog Junkyard. It's stupid.
So, I mean, the one that got, you know, the sailor and his pan. So he's like, does he hate his parrot?
Yeah, he doesn't like the parrot at all.
I couldn't really get his, like, half the time, his parrot gets, like, worn out or something. And he has to, like, lie him down on this miniature parrot table so he can sleep. And he's like, oh, I'll miss you, buddy. Not really, though. And then walks off.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, why is he so harsh on the parrot?
Yeah. And then one of the weirdest parts of the show is, like, for some reason, which never happened to anybody else, during, he just grows giant.
Yeah, you've, like, missed a vital moment then, in which the gun that regrew him had a jiggly paw on it.
Oh, I see.
I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
They clarified that there was something wrong with the gun.
Right, so, but I think the gun at this point had already been broken, then remade, and then they used it to shrink the parrot, and then they jiggled it back, and then put him back to normal size.
So the jiggly bit wasn't the same as the switch.
Right, yeah. So yeah, easy, I mean, mistake. This gun is a real real linchpin in the episode, because and then it just buys half of the stuff that happens.
Like, yeah, essentially a giant parrot. So it's like Lord of the Rings, but with parrots.
Yeah.
That's basically the end of the episode.
It really is. And the person who hates it the most is the guy who owns the parrot. Because then the parrot's talking really loud and he's just like contemplating death at the end of the episode.
But to full circle and kind of hone in the whole Christmas message, which is definitely forgotten by 10 minutes into the episode, if not earlier, that by the end of it, Hound, or whatever his name is, isn't sad anymore. I don't really know what lesson he learned. But
it's just no reason for it.
He was like, yeah, I guess I do have a family after all, or something like that. I don't know. He was involved in Christmas.
Yeah, like, you know, all that shooting down their own planes. That's, really brought him the feel of being together. Yeah.
Yeah. And just really gave that Christmas message of togetherness in some way that I didn't get.
That's what it was all about.
And it was genuinely really laughable. Like,
because
you'd kind of forgotten by the end that it was a Christmas episode. Yeah.
And especially since they just had, like, aerial combat over a civilian area.
there was
so many amazing bits as well, because Cobra was pretending to be the Joes, like, you could see, like, the morality, like, switch in loads of the civilians. Like, there's one bit where a father, like, covers his child, like, and, like, jumps to safety, and the kid's like, the Joes, aren't they the good guys? And the dad's like, I thought so too, son. And, like, almost sheds a tear. It's so good.
They've not even cleared their name at the end of the episode.
No.
Like, as far as anyone knows, it's the Cobras that have saved the day.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It really was a treat of an episode. It was so unexpected. Like, you didn't know what was coming next at all, because it's just so unpredictable. Like, they had really gone wild, and there's so many moments that you were like, what's this bit? Like, the sailor and they'd been hung in the freezer, like, by handcuffs.
I mean, we didn't even get to that bit, did we? I mean, we're not even explaining. There's so many things that happen in this story. I mean, just to boil it down to bullet points, transporting presents, shrunken soldiers climb out of wooden horse, get grown.
Yeah.
Escape meat locker.
Yeah.
Aerial fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's Christmas.
Giant parrot.
Giant parrot, it's Christmas.
Giant parrot, Merry Christmas to all.
Yeah. How did it come up with this?
Yeah.
This is one of the most phenomenal things we've watched, like, story.
Oh, yeah. This is the most It's got to be the most novel Christmas episode we've watched of anything.
It's not just the most novel episode. I don't think a story has gone to so many different, places.
Going into this, I was like, oh, this is going to be so, it's so old and it's kind of out there as far as my personal interests go. Not really bothered about G.I. Joes and military stuff or whatever. It's like, whatever. But this made me want to watch more. It's like, I'm hoping that this tone continues throughout the show. Yeah. Because,
it's a proper, you can tell, you can see why the toys were successful.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as mental as it is, there's so many different characters with different vehicles and you would be like, I just want to play that. You're a giant parrot now. And the story can go anywhere.
It really could. I was actually surprised at just how much action there was. It's like an old show. The action portion of it was quite impressive.
Yeah, I think that's when I started tuning back in, really, was when they started, getting to grips with action.
If you compare that to a modern Marvel movie or something, they've got all the same kind of elements to it. Do you know what I mean?
There's
lots of different shots. It's very much like this goes on over here. There's multiple people in combat, fighting, and you're switching from one to the next, and there's huge explosions everywhere. And I didn't realize it. This had so much in it. That was quite impressive.
This is how Marvel started with, successful TV.
Yeah.
Hilariously.
Everything
that's happening now, everything you're all watching, is because of Cobra Claws.
A tiny gift of tiny Cobra agents inside of a hobby horse.
one character as well, before we sort of finish up for this, that was in it, I think, once and then disappeared, that was really into the hobby horse, was just some Irish guy with a terrible accent.
Oh, yeah.
And he just disappeared. He just was there. Yeah. He was like, "What great craftsmanship." And then cleared off.
It's just like absolutely drumming up the hobby horse as a gift.
Oh, what a show. What a show. Flipping it.
Oh, man.
Right, okay. Well, we've had some fun. So let's move on. Let's do our final reviews. Merry Christmas. Action Force. Real generic heroes forever. Action Force is... It's Action Force. It's full of real, generic heroes.
These aren't American. No, these are generic heroes. And they love action, power, now, fighting, men, man, army men. Fight, you love it.
It's got all sorts of different characters that you can buy as toys. It's got army men. It's got cowboys. It's got pirates. It's got cars. It's got wrestlers. It's got woman. It's got them all.
Yes.
Action Force.
Force now. Get your hobby horse today in the bonus pack with extra action on top. Just how you like it.
Real generic heroes forever. Yeah! Action Force! Real action generic force. Heroes! Okay, so here at Toon Jam, we have a 3-point rating system that goes as follows. Thumbs up, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to you. Yes, Merry. Thumbs down, 80s politics and, social views. Oh, boy. And shaky middle.
Uh-huh.
Villain voices from 80s cartoons.
Yeah.
What's the deal? So, good, bad. Not really sure on that one. So, G.I. Joe, real American heroes / Action Force.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, as a show, I feel like this really just hit all of the marks in one go, you know, whether you wanted it or not, really. It was like a huge cast of heroes and villains, all with their own situation going on. You know, like, no matter what sort of, like, niche-type hero you want, they had it anyway. So it, you were just like, okay, there's my guy or whatever. There's my girl, cover girl. There she is. And from the get-go, you were like, things just happen in the show. It was really, there was no way to predict what was going on. And that's an element that I really enjoyed. Like someone just coming out of a secret cave to drop a hobby horse in the back of your van instead of a bomb. Wouldn't have expected that. That's not a story element I'm familiar with. So yeah, really just out there. It was so wild. And, you know, we had like the heroes having a good time. The villains were super happy with the fact that they were taken over and they had this really cool scam to just like ruin the reputation of their enemies. They had future technology that we still don't even comprehend today of like shrink down, shrink back up, possibly go too large if the thing is wobbly. You know, then you have all these extra moments that are just like, oh, what a strange hostage situation. Like put them in the meat locker, give them the key to their own handcuffs. Like, you know, it's all happening at the same time. All of that culminates in a giant action sequence. I mean, this is, you can see why, you know, there's people like Michael Bay in the world. When they grow up on a cartoon, this mad, this full of ram to wall to wall with explosions.
Yeah.
It's like, well, of course, that's how we get the modern action movie. So, I mean, this genuinely made me want to sit and watch more because, like, what else could happen? Like, what other adventures can these crazy people get up to? It was thoroughly enjoying from the get-go. And, you know, maybe I was enjoying it for reasons that weren't necessarily implied by the creators, but they were all there, so it doesn't really matter. I really enjoyed this, and definitely not the kind of tropey Christmas episode that we're used to. You know, there was no like Santa turns up and they drive off in the sleigh together into the, you know, into the night, or none of that nonsense. It was just a whole brand new spin on a Christmas episode. So yeah, I thought it was fantastic. So G.I. Joe, Real American Hero Action Force, thumbs up from me.
Thumbs up. Sterling thumbs up. I mean, I just want to get this out of there straight away. It was, you know, on base value, utter garbage. But that being said, it was the best. It was junkyard garbage.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Junkyard. But it was like you say, absolutely hilarious. I think early on, I did keep switching off, just because I was just a bit like, I don't care what they're saying. This is just ridiculous. But as I kind of watched it more, I kind of got in. Like I think it just got. It dipped into like, this is stupid, and then went straight through it. So much so that you were like, okay, do you know what? I have no idea what's coming next. Like, and I think when the tiny men climbed out of the hobby horse, it was like, what is going on here? Like, is that bigger than it looks or what? And then they had a shrink ray that had not been explained at all.
No.
And you're kind of like, oh man, what is going on in this episode? Then they're in that meat locker, which is weird anyway, because what's weird is that there's a piece of meat in there with them. You're just kind of like, why is there like, you know, an odd number of characters perfectly laid out, but one of them is a piece of meat. And then when he brought in the key as a present, that's when I think I was hooked. Pardon the pun.
Like said key.
It was like, okay, this is ridiculous. Let's watch. And then everything after that just got weirder and weirder. And like I say, like that whole action sequence when they're kind of all in vehicles, like going for it, shooting each other. was weirdly good, even with like partially racist rhymes. Dude, like he was still, despite that, he was pretty cool, like and stuff, and like the stupid characters all kind of make it. So
I
don't know if I'm just overcompensating for the fact that I never gave The Legend of Zelda a thumbs up, but I too have to give this a thumbs up.
Oh man, wow.
Not what I expected.
No, this is a real Christmas surprise.
A real Christmas surprise. I think that was the whole Christmas bit. I mean, was just so hilarious. And it wasn't, like you say, it wasn't it partially was tropey because there was that whole, you know, parent
Christmas sadness.
The Christmas sadness was, but it was so, like, what they picked was so offbeat and so bizarre. If you're listening and you had that problem at home, please message in.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you exactly what you should watch to make you feel better. You've got to join the Action Force.
That's it.
It's the only way. What a cracking episode. It had everything, genuinely. Yeah. Like, it had, you know, explosions, crazy vehicles, tiny army men.
Yeah.
Hobby horses.
Yeah.
Giant parrots. And sad
meat lockers.
Sad meat lockers. Slabs of meat and sad men.
Yeah.
At Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it just, and it, you know, it just shows you, you know, men can be sad too. Real men.
Real men.
Real American heroes.
When real American heroes cry sometimes.
Then you know you know it's okay to be sad.
Yeah.
So there you go. First Christmas episode was an absolute doozy.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Not expected.
I don't know if anything is going to be able to top that.
We should have done this last. We've definitely ruined. But you know, at the same time, at least we've got this. I know I'm watching Christmas Day again.
Yes. Yeah.
This is first thing in the morning.
This might become my Christmas routine.
Yeah. Yeah, this is up there with Shalundo. For those that don't know, that's a previous visit to Justice League at Christmas. Yeah. So there you go. All right. Well, there you go. Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Merry Christmas.
My goodness.
The time is on us. We've got a few Christmas episodes. So join us again next week. Don't forget, if you liked what you heard, please feel free to rate and review us wherever you listen. It's very helpful. If you're listening and you want to listen to our old episodes, such as the Justice League Christmas one, you can find them on YouTube. But if you're listening on YouTube, then don't forget, we have a feed as well. So you can check that out on the podcast for fresher ones. Otherwise, all that's left to say is thank you so much for listening. And until next time, you stay merry.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/toonjampod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you and stay jammy.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.